Begin the current daf, Masech the Baba Basra, daf Tzadi Aleph. Begin in the top line of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues in a related discussion from the previous daf, which we spoke about the prohibition of stockpiling produce that are what's called chayei nefesh, staples for people in Eretz Yisrael. Neither are you allowed to export produce of Eretz Yisrael to out of Eretz Yisrael, again, that are things that are chayei nefesh, staples that are necessary. On that theme, the Gemara continues with another thing like that. Tarabon learned the Braisa. A mistaker be'Eretz Yisrael, one is not allowed to gain the profit margin Eretz Yisrael, bedvarm sheyesh ben chayei nefesh, regarding things that are things that people need to survive, kagon yeinei shmanim v'salasais, like wine, oil, and flour. What this means to say is, of course, people could sell and make money off these products, but it means to say that you're not allowed to introduce a middleman who he's going to buy the wine, the oil, and the flour from the homeowner who produces it to sell it in the marketplace. Rather, the homeowner, the one who produces it, he himself has to go ahead and sell it like he would sell it to the store owner. He himself should go ahead and do it. Now, obviously, says Rashbam, if someone buys wheat from a homeowner and he makes bread out of it, that's permitted to sell because that's an added element of effort that he's charging for. But to sell that same exact thing that he bought, which is what is the position of the middleman, that's forbidden because the homeowner himself could go ahead and sell it without that much of an effort. Therefore, we're not allowed to introduce another person that's going to increase the prices again because these are staples and we don't want it to be too much. Now, Amr Lov al Reb Elazar ben Azariah, however, they said regarding Reb Elazar ben Azariah, Shoyim Mistaker B'Yayin Mishem, that he actually would go ahead and be a middleman, which would thus increase the price on wine and oil. So the Gemara explains why. B'Yayin Sabla Kribud ben Maser. Regarding wine, he held a Kribud ben Maser that we quoted on the previous daf, which he said that, of course, these are things actually you could export, although that they're Chayin Nefesh, because we don't want so much of wine around there, it's Israel. To the contrary, we want the price, like in this case, to increase so that people don't buy that much wine because it causes a lot of inappropriate things. And b'shemen ba'aser d'belozim b'nazar shchiach mishcha. And also regarding oil, although it's a staple, but where he lived there was so much oil, so it wasn't problematic if the price goes up because there's so much, and therefore even having a middleman wasn't so problematic, and therefore he would go ahead and sell these things as a middleman. Tarabon, when the Braisa said, continuing on these halachas, one is not allowed to sell double, which Gemara is going to shortly explain what that means, bebeitzim, by eggs. Now Rashbam explains that since eggs are not such a staple so much like the other items that were mentioned, moreover, there's a lot of effort and very little profit margin that there is for the poor person who he goes around collecting and buying eggs to sell them. Therefore, they allowed that person to sell even for more than a sixth, which although we said on the previous stuff that you only let them make a profit margin of a sixth, by eggs, as we'll see whichever the interpretation is, you're allowed to make more than that, but there is a certain cap that there is. So what's this that you're not allowed to sell at Pamayim? So Amar Mari Bar Mari, he says, Pligi bar Rabbi Shmuel, it's Machlikas Rabbi Shmuel. Chad Amar al Chad Trey. One said what it means to say is that you're not allowed to sell double, meaning you can't sell it for 200% of its value. If you bought it for dinner, you're not allowed to sell it for two dinar. You can't double that. So although a sixth you could, but not double. Chad Amar Tagal Tagar. One said that you're not allowed to sell double, meaning that the first merchant cannot go ahead and sell it to a second merchant. Rather, because there it's going to be two price increases. The first merchant and the second merchant, and that's going to cause the price to go up way more than enough. But rather, he could sell it, the first one could make more than a sixth, but he can't sell it to one merchant who's going to sell it to another one. Now, Rashbam says, but regarding other items, there's no problem for this halacha, because even if this guy charges more, you could find someone else who charges cheaper, so that wouldn't be a problem. But regarding eggs, is something that in these types of items, and for sure by chayei nefesh, there are caps and limitations regarding how much it could be sold for. Turn upon Lunda Braisa, Masriyan. We scream out in prayer a pragmatia regarding the merchandise that went down in price drastically. For example, let's say distinguished type of clothing, which lost a lot of value, which as Rashbam points out, because that would be, for example, items that wouldn't be a loss for poor people if it go up in price, because they anyways don't buy these expensive clothing. If this type of merchandise diminishes drastically, one could scream out in prayer about Philip Shabbos, even on Shabbos, which is generally we don't scream out about certain things, but for that you could. Now, Amr Biechen, he explains, could go in clay pishtim bubble. That would be like linen garments in bubble, or v'yayin b'shemen b'Eretz Yisrael, or wine and oil in Eretz Yisrael, which these are the primary sources of income, if there's such a dramatic decrease, which could be a major loss for people, that we could scream at and pray even on Shabbos. Now, Rav Yosef, he explains moreover, v'hu dezal, that's if it went down so much in price, v'kama sara, that 10 garments now are only worth the value of b'shita, of 6 garments, which is almost half the value that's lost, then for that type of a decrease, one could scream out in prayer on Shabbos. One is not allowed to go out from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Lortz, out of Eretz Yisrael, because one removes himself from many mitzvahs that can only be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael. Elim kin amdu sasayim b'sela, unless if 2 sah of food cost a sela, which that's already a lot of money, then for that you're allowed to leave out of Eretz Yisrael. Now, Amrib Shimon, he says, however, Amosai, when did we say this? Is only b'zman she'ina moitzalikach, if you can't find to buy. But if you could go ahead and buy, even though it's very expensive, then even if only a saw is a seller, you're still not allowed to leave, even though it's a lot of money, but since you could afford it, you could find a way to buy, then you're not allowed to leave. The Chenar Yibshim Ben Yechoyi, would say that Elimelech Machloin V'Kilyon, who are famous from the story of Megillas Rus, that they were G'dayla HaDarhayim. They were the great ones of the generation. That was the father and the 2 sons. And they were also those who were in charge of taking care of the generation. Why were they punished that they died? Because they went from Eretz Yisrael out of Eretz Yisrael. Like it says the pasuk in Rus, it says that the whole city wondered regarding them, which was when Nami was coming with Rus back from Chutz Lartz to Eretz Yisrael when their husbands had died. And they said, is this Nami? Now the question is, my hazayis nami, what does it mean, is this nami? So Amr B'Yitzchak, he explains this idea that we're saying, that Amr, they said, chazisim nami, sheyotzis me'eretz l'chutz l'Yisrael. Did you see this nami who she left us from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz? Ma'osla, did you see what happened to her? This hazayis nami, this is the one, she's the one who left, and you see the punishment from someone that is Eretz Yisrael, and that leaves. So that's why Reb Shimon Yochai had said, as Reb Shimon had said, which is that this idea that one cannot leave. If you could afford food in Eretz Yisrael, even if it's very expensive, even if it's a hunger year, you're not supposed to leave. Another halacha of Amar B'Yitzchok, he says, Oysa yem shebas Rus ha-mavil Eretz Yisrael, that day that Rus ha-moyevi came to Eretz Yisrael with Nami, Mesa ishti shel Bayis, that day the wife of Bayis passed away. Now, what that's coming to teach us is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what's called Makdim Refu L'Maka. He prefaces the healing before he gives the klap, before he gives the bang, which is that what that comes to tell you is that a person should trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Hashem already prepared here also. That was the idea where Bayaz was now without a wife, but Hashem on that day had already Rus brought over there who is going to be his next wife. Behind Amr Inche, and this is what people say, Adalei Shachav Shechva, before the dying person even dies, Kaima Manu Vaisei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already has prepared the one who's going to take over his house and take the place of the one who passed away, which was with the case with Bayez, that his wife passed away, and who's going to take care of the family? Already Rus was already there and came that day. Amar Rab Bar Avuhna Amar Rab. It says, Ivtzan, who's from one of the judges that's brought in Sefer Shaiftim, Zeh Bayez, he's the Bayez, he's the same person as Bayez, who's famous from the story of Rus, who ended up marrying Rus. So the Gemara says, "My Kamash Malon, what gain do we have now? What is it teaching us regarding to any mitzvahs that now we know that Ivtzan is the same person as Bayas?" Says the Gemara, "Ki idach the Rabbi Rav Huna comes to teach us this other halacha of Ham Rabbi Rav Huna, meaning he's the one who taught us that Ivtzan is Bayas. It comes to parallel regarding what he himself had taught, that this other teaching that we're going to quote, that all the sons, all the children of Avtzan died when he was still alive. Now, from the fact that we're saying that Avtzan is Bayaz, and it says that Bayaz married Rus, even though he already had many children from his first wife, and that is what the halacha is teaching us, as the Gemara tells in Yevamah Samach Beis Mabeis, that if a person marries a woman when he's young, he should marry a woman when he's older too. Just like Avtzan did, who he is Bayaz, because he was afraid that maybe all his children from his first wife will die and pass away when he's still alive, which was actually the case, and he won't have any remembrance, any children. And the pasuk says in Kehelis, Perkei Aleph, Babeikir Zara Zarach, in the morning, sow your seeds. Well, Erev Al Tanach Edecha, but even in the evening, you should not withhold yourself. Which from here, as we expound, as the pasuk itself really says, Ki Inchi Yedeya, because you don't know is a yichshur, which one will be the right one, hazeh or izeh, this one and this one, etc. But if we didn't tell you that Avtan would be Bayaz, then we would have said that Avtan never married another woman, and that Bayaz had never married a woman and had children from before he took Ruth. But now that we teach you that it's the same person, it teaches you that he fulfilled that pasuk, which actually we'll see that was actually his salvation, that he did go and marry another woman and have another child, which actually ended up being his future destiny because all his first wife's children passed away. Dam Rab Bar Avuna Merav, that he had said, Meiva Esa Mishtoyis Asa Bayez Labanav. Bayez, who he's this Ibtzan, had made 120 parties for his children, for his 60 sons and daughters. Shneim, like it says in Pasuk in Shaftim, it says, Vayhi Lo Shleishim Banim, he had 30 sons, Ushleishim Banis, and 30 daughters, Shilach HaChutz, that he sent away, meaning that he married them off. Ushleishim Banis, Hevi Levanim El HaChutz, and 30 daughters he brought from the outside into his family from the outside to marry his sons. Vayishpat Es Yisrael Shabbashanim, and he judged the Jewish people for 7 years. That's when he was a Shaftim. Now, explains the Gemara, B'chol Achas V'Achas Asa Shnei Meshtois. For each one of these children, for the 60 children, he made two parties. There is the Sudas of Erisin for the engagement, which that's a mitzvah, as the Gemara says, M'sech B'sachim Daf Memtesim Alf. And then you have the Sudas Nisuin, which is for all the Shevas Yemei Mishnah, what we call the Sheva Brachas, is called one Suda. Those are the two parties for the 60 kids. Echad Bebeis Aviv, one in his father's house, Ve'echad Bebeis Chamav, one in his father-in-law's house, which are the 120 parties. U'b'chulon, Le'zimenes Menoyachim, all these parties, he did not invite Menoyach. Amar, he said, Kudna Akara, a sterile mule, but my parley, how is he going to pay me back? Which is because he doesn't have any children, that he's going to invite me to their parties, because he doesn't have. So I should invite him to all my 120 parties, and what's that? What am I getting back from him? Now, Tana, we learned, for Kulan Mesu B'chayiv, that all those 60 children died while he was still alive. Now, behind the Dami Inche, that's what people say, B'chayach, the Yeladet to Chitin. In your lifetime, when you gave birth to 60 children, but they're going to end up dying, Chitin Lamalech, what do you need those 60 children for? Ichvil, double, meaning go ahead and marry another wife, V'oilet Chad, and only give birth to one child, to Mishitin Zarez, that will be better than those 60 children. And who was that child that Boaz had? Was Oivad, who Boaz had given birth to from Rus, who from there ended up coming out, David, Melech Yisrael. So we see this idea that he married another woman and that was actually his salvation. Simon, a mnemonic for the following teachings, Molach, that he ruled, Avram, Esher Shon, 10 years, Shenifter, that he passed away, Nisnasi Levadoi, that he was elevated alone. So what are these teachings? So Amar Avchanan by Rav, Amar Rav, and these are these teachings from Avchanan, Elimelech v'Salmon, who this was Salmon, it was the father of Boaz, as the pasuk says that Salmon hoiles Boaz, Salmon gave birth to Boaz. Uplaini Almaini, who these were the name. This is the name of the redeemer that had the opportunity to marry Ruth but turned it down. Vavi Nami, and the father of Nami. Kulon ben Nachshon ben and Nami was that the mother-in-law of Ruth. Kulon ben Nachshon ben Menadav Hain. They were actually all the children from Nachshon, the son of Menadav, from the Shevet of Yehuda, as the pasuk says, Nachshon hoiled the Salmon, Nachshon gave birth to Salmon, and B'Salmon hoiled, and Salmon gave birth, and that was when went on to Boaz and so on, and they were all from those from that family. So you ask my kamash, what's the teaching of Avchan bar Rav Amrav teaching us? Shafila Mishayeshli Yischus Avis, that even someone who has the merits of his fathers, where Elimelech was the son of Nachshon, who is the prince and a pious person, the same idea that we were saying before, it does not help him at a time when he leaves Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, which we see that they were punished and their tzchus abish didn't stand them by leaving Eretz Yisrael. Another teaching, V'amrav Chan Barav Amrav, says, Imei de Avram, the mother of Avram, now the reason why we're mentioning who the mother of Avram is because the mothers of Yitzchak and Yaakov are mentioned in the Torah, so we need to know what's the name of Avram. And once we bring the mother of Avram, we mention the mother of Haman because their first names are the same. So the mother of Avram was Amasloi Bas Karnavoy, and even the Haman, the mother of Haman, was also Amasloi but Bas Urvasi. Now B'samanech, the mnemonic to remember which is which, is Tamei Tamei Tahar Tar. The one who's Tamei is related to the one that's Tamei, and Tar is Tar, where Karnavoy is from the word of Karim Mitzayin, which are fattened sheep, they're Tar animals. That refers to the mother of Avram, who Avram is Tahar, is pure. A raven is an impure animal. That refers to the mother of Haman, who was someone that was impure. Even the David, the mother of David, and the reason is because all the mothers of the kings are written in the Sefer, in Svarm of Nevim, and the prophets, so we have to explain also who's the mother of David. is Nitzeves Bas Adol Shema. Her name was Nitzeves Bas Adol. And Imin the Shimshon, who is the mother of Shimshon? Now the reason why is because the Pasuk mentions many times the mother of Shimshon, so too like it says in the Pasuk, La'av v'le'ima le'higid, like he didn't tell his father and his mother. So we had to explain who she was, because all these types of things, the apikorsim, those who want to deny elements of the Torah, these are the things they ask and say, well, why don't we know her name? Why doesn't it say? So it says the Gemara, the name of Shimshon's mother was Tzlel Fainis. And Va'achse Nashon, his sister was Nashon, that was her name, and just because it mentioned his mother, so it mentioned who his sister was. So the Gemara is like we were just mentioning, L'may Nafkamin, for what relevance do we have to know the name of, let's say, Shimshon's mother? Is the Tshuva Samin had to respond to the Kaifrim, who they're the ones who ask regarding these women more than all the other women, as we explained, because they want to know, hey, why doesn't it say? So we answered them, and we said, don't worry, we know all this information. This is what the prophets gave us orally, it's just not written in the Tanakh. Another teaching from Rav Chanan bar Rava Amar Rav, it says, Esther Shanim Nechvesh Avram Avinu. For 10 years, Avram was in prison, where Nimrod had imprisoned him, which Rashbam brings from the Agadata, that he saw that Terach, his father, had got him imprisoned, because he had demolished, in the famous story, all his father's idols, so therefore he got him imprisoned for 10 years. Shalish Bekuta, Besheva Bekardu, 3 years in Kuta and 7 years in Kardu, which these are names of places. And this is coming to tell us the endearment of Avram, that look what he went through and look what he became. Now, Rav Dimon Ardam, as an Ipchi learns, it was the opposite. It was actually 7 years in Kuta and 3 years in Kardu. Amar Rav Chizda, he says, Ivra Ze'era, which is the name of this place, the Kuta, which is in Kuta, Zeu Orkazim, this is the famous Orkazim, which it says there in the Torah that Avram Avinu was thrown into the fire over there. Now, the significance of that is that whoever sees that place has to make the brachas. The Gemara Bracha says, Baruch Sha'asa Nisim Labesinim B'Makam Azeh, that blessed is the one who does miracles for our fathers in this place, which is the famous miracle that Avram was saved over there. Another teaching from Rav Chanan bar Rav Amar Rav, he says, Isa Yom Shenifta Avram Avinu Min Olam, that day that Avram Avinu passed away from the world, Amdu Kol Gedoyle Umes Ha'olam B'Shur of Amr. So all the great ones of all the nations stood up in a line and they said, Oylei le'olam sha'avad, woe to the world that has lost as a continued Tavid Beis, manhiga, its ruler, its leader. Ve'olei le'svina sha'avad kavernita, and woe to the ship that has lost its captain, who leads the ship. That's what Avram Avinu was to the entire world. Another teaching from the same Amora, says in the Pasuk in Divrei Yom Aleph, where it begins over there in Perek Chav Tes, Pasuk Yedav, L'cha Hashem HaGedula, we say this in Davening, for you Hashem is the greatness, Negvura, Teferis, Netzach, Ahoid, because everything in the heavens and the earth is for you, Hashem is the rulership. And the Pasuk concludes, V'amis Nasi L'chol Reich, and the elevation for everything that's on the top. Now, but Amar Rav Chanan bar Rav Amar Rav, he expounds this Pasuk, he says, what it teaches us is, Afila Reish Gargusa, even the leader, the one that's in charge of just the pits, he's the superintendent of who's going to draw the water to water his field today and who's going to be the one tomorrow, which is a very small leadership position. Even that, Mishamayim Mukmizla, it's appointed to that person from heaven. And that's learned out from the Pasuk where it says, L'cha Hashem HaMamlacha V'Hamasnase. What it means to say is that L'cha, meaning through you Hashem, is HaMasnase, whoever gets elevated for anything, even the most tiniest position, being on the school board, the Reish Gargusa, is L'cha Hashem, it's through you, any leadership position is from Hashem. Going back to what we mentioned before regarding Elimelech, that we said they got punished from leaving Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. So Amar Rav Chiya bar Ava and Amar B'shu ben Karchi says, Chas v'shal, heaven forsake, Shafila Matzah Subin Lo Yatzu, even if they would have found bran, they would not have left. They didn't leave because they didn't care. V'helem and Neiman interest, and then why did they get punished? Not because they left. Shahoyilen Lavakish Racham Al Dairim Malay Bikshu, because they should have beseeched mercy for their generation, and they did not. And that's why they got punished. So now, like it says, the Pasuk Yeshaya, B'zakech, through your screaming, when you're gathering all those that are hurt, Yetzilocha Kevutzayich, that your gathering will save you. If they would have taken the initiative and gotten everyone together and prayed for them, then they would have helped. And because they didn't do that, that's why they were punished, because they were the leaders of the Jewish people. Now, going back to the Brice that we mentioned before, to qualify, Amar Rabbi Ruchan Amar Rabbi Yechanan, he says, Lei Shanu, we didn't learn this prohibition of leaving from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, Ella Mo'is B'Zayl U'Peris B'Yeker, which we said that you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, but depends if it's a certain amount, and that's the high prices, okay, that's way too much, then you can leave. But that says, Rabbi Yechanan, that's only if the money is cheap, you can get money, but the produce is expensive. So it's not going to help you, you can't afford it. So therefore, then we said if it's the price is so high already, then you can leave. But if money is expensive, it's hard to come by money, which is that merchandise is cheap, but there's no money to go around. There's stuff to buy, but no one has money. Even if it's not, if it's, the price are pretty moderate, it's pretty cheap. You could get four saw for just one sella. Even then, Yoitzin, you could leave out of Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz to go ahead and procure food. As the Gemara is going to explain the reason, which first the Gemara brings in a siman and a mnemonic for the following teachings of Rabbi Yechon, in which the first one is related to what we're discussing, which is Sela, the coin, the Sela, Poyel, a worker, Haruva, a carob, Talia, a child, Amrin is what they said, which is the first teaching is the Rabbi Yechon, and he says, Nehirna, I recall, Kadhabu Kaimin Arba Soin Besela. There was a time that four saw, which is a nice amount of produce, you could buy with just one sella, but for having a fish and a fichi kafim tveria that were bloated stomachs from starvation and tveria, middeless sister, because no one had the money to buy the bread. There was the food, but no one could afford it, and therefore, says the Gemara, even if people, even if there, if there's a lot of produce, but money's expensive, you can't afford money, then you can leave even if prices are pretty moderate because no one has the money to afford it. Next teaching from Rabbi Yechonon related is, and here he says, I recall, Kadloi have a mezgarin pa'alya lemidnach karta, that workers wouldn't hire themselves out to work in the eastern part of the city. Mireach pita, from the aroma of the bread, which the western wind would bring the aroma of bread, which was very delicious, to the eastern part of the city, and meisen, and because of the good smell, which they didn't have, they would die. Or another interpretation is because of the, it would bring up the desire of hunger, and they couldn't withstand it, and therefore they would die. Another teaching of Amar B'yechin on the other way around, and here he says, I recall, kad have a batzi and nuka charuba, that when a child would break open a carob, it would drip a stream of honey on his two arms. That's how delicious, that's how bountiful the produce was in Eretz Yisrael. So to Amr Belazar, he says, I recall, when a raven would come and grab a piece of meat, and it was flying away with it, it would drip a stream, a string of oil, of fat, if it would like go over a wall, it would drip from the top of the wall down to the ground. That's how fatty and delicious the food was. Now, Vam Rabbi Yechonon, and more of another idea that Rabbi Yechonon says regarding the Hirna that I recall, could have a metailin, that there was a time that they could play around, Talia v'Talyasa, a boy and a girl, Bishuka in the marketplace, Kavar Shis Esrei u'Kavar Shev Esrei, that they, these boys and girls were 16 and 17, v'la have a chatan, and they wouldn't sin. It was a more innocent time that people weren't only into inappropriate things, that even 16 and 17 year old boys and girls could be playing and nothing inappropriate would happen. Vam Rabbi Yechonon, another idea from Rabbi Yechonon that he says, Nehirna, I recall, Kadhava Amrin Be Medrash, that when they would say in the Beis HaMedrash, the Moidu Lohain, whoever admits to the idol worshippers that he agrees to what they say, Nafal Bidei, and so then he actually falls in their hands. Rather, what a person should do, he should reject whatever they say. And the Misrachet Zalein, whoever is confident and relies on them, Delay Dilhain, whatever is his will be theirs. Because from the fact that he's confident in them and he reveals to them what he has, they will ultimately take whatever they know is his. Says the Gemara, going back to the idea of the Elimelech and his sons, Machlin and Kilian, who they ended up dying, the Ksivit says the Pasuk in Rus, Machlin and Kilian, that was their names. Now the problem is the Ksivit says the Pasuk in Divriyam Aleph, which are describing them as one could see from the context, it calls them Yoish Visaraf. So Rav Shmuel, two different interpretations. Charamer Machlin veKilian Shmon. One says that their name is as it says in Rus was Machlin and Kilian. So v'lom enikrit Shmon Sarah veYayish. So why in Divrei Yama they called Sarah veYayish? To allude to Yayish and Nisyayish from the Geula. Yayish, that because they had given up hope from being redeemed, and that's one of the ideas of why they left Eretz Israel. And Sarah shenischay b'sreif alamakim. And Sarah is because they were liable for being burnt to in front of Hashem because of what they had done. Now, v'chadam are the other way around. That Yoish v'sarv shman. Actually, their names really were Yoish and Sarv. V'lama nikrishman machlin v'kilian. Why were they called? And the Torah calls names a lot of times to allude to the definition. Why were they called machlin v'kilian? Machlin sh'asu gufan chulin. Machlin is because they made their bodies profane by going out to chutz l'aretz, which is an impure land. V'kilian sh'nischayv v'kli l'makam v'kilian, because they were liable to being wiped out by Hashem because they left Eretz Yisrael. So it says the Gemara, Tani Kamanda Amma Machlin Makilian Shimon. We learn the Brisa like that opinion that says that their real names are Machlin and Kilian, they would only call the other names to allude to that idea. The Tani, we learn the Brisa, What does it mean, the pasuk in Divrei Yom Alef, which there it delineates the children of the tribe of Yehuda, and Sefer Divrei Yamim, which Rashbam says that then what we have to say is that although it's mentioning all those from Sefer Yehuda, it must be that some of them are paternally, but some of them are only maternally, because the first one, as we'll see, is not from Sefer Yehuda. It says in the pasuk, "V'yoykim b'anshe Kaziva, and the people of Kaziva, v'yoyish v'saraf, asher bol l'mayav, that they cohabited with Mayav, v'yeshuvi lachem, and those who are yeshuvi lachem, v'advar matikim, and these are ancient words." So what does this mean? So v'yoykim is a Yeshua, actually refers to Yeshua, which therefore says Rashbam, that maybe his mother was from Shevet Yehuda, similarly like we find by Mordechai in the Gemara Masechet Megillah, he's called Ish Yehudi, even though his father was from Shevet Binyamin, that his mother was from the tribe of Yehuda. So why is Yeshua called Yoikim? It's a Heikim Shvul Anche Givin, because he stood up, he substantiated his promise that he made to the people of Givin, even though it was an error, but he substantiated and let them live. The Anche Kiziva, what's that referring to? Elo Anche Givin, that's referring to the people of Givin, Shekizva be Yeshua, that they lied to Yeshua. So that's what the Pasuk is saying. That Yoikim, meaning it's referring to who is this person that stood to his oath that he made to this Anshe Kaziva, that's Yeshua. But it's not talking about the Anshe Kaziva from Shevet Yehuda, because they actually were Canaanim, where they were supposed to be wiped out, but they lied to Yeshua and made believe they were coming from a faraway country, and he promised that he's not going to kill them out, and therefore he was Mekayim, that's when they didn't kill them out, who they were cousins of Yeshua, they had lied to Yeshua. The pasuk again continues, V'yayish B'saraf, says the Braisa Elo Machlon Mikilion. This refers to Machlon and Kilion, who they were from Shevet Yehuda, the sons of Elimelech, the sons of Nachshon, Ben Menadav. Now, V'lama Nekrishman Yayish V'sarav, says the Braisa, and then why were they called Yayish V'sarav? Yayish and Nisyayish Min HaGu'ula, because they had given up hope from being redeemed, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would redeem them from the hunger that was going on in Eretz Yisrael, as the Pasuk says in Rus. Ki Pakar Hashem Es Amek, because Hashem remembers His people, lost Lehem Lechem, to give them bread, and they thought they're not going to be redeemed. And the reason why they were called Sarav is in the Schayv Usreif Alamakim, because they were liable to be burned in front of Hashem. And the pasuk then continues, Ashabal Lamayev, which they cohabited with Moyev. And again, that's the idea that we mentioned, that their real names were Machlon and Nekilion. Ashabal Lamayev, that they cohabited with Moyev, Shenasu Nashem Moyevoyas, that they married Moabite women, one of them being Rus and then Arpa. V'yashuvi Lachem, who's that referring to? Zur Rus HaMoyeviyah, that's referring to Rus, the Moabite, where she's called on from the family of Shevet Yehuda because of the children that were going to come out of her, who was David HaMelech. This is from the tribe of Yehuda. And the reason why she's called Yeshuvi Lachem is she shava v'nidvaka be'beis Lechem Yehuda, because she came back and she cleaved to Beis Lechem, part of Shevet Yehuda. That's what she's called Yeshuvi Lachem, coming back to Beis Lechem. V'advar matikim, and these are ancient words. What does this mean? Devarim halol, these words, that what happened was that Machlon and Kilion went out to Chutz La'aretz, and because of that they married, Rus came into the family, which then caused her to come back and get married to Bayaz, which from that was born the kingdom of Malchus Beis David. That idea, these words are Atik Yemen Amrin, were said by the ancient ones of days, meaning referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the primordial one. From him came out these secrets, that this is the way that David HaMelech and his kingdom should come out. Like it's alluded to in the pasuk in Tillim, it says, Mutsasi David Avdi, I found David my servant. And they use the word Mutsasi. Ksibin, it says, a pasuk in Bereishis, Shtei b'nesecha hanemtsais, your two daughters that are found, referring to the two daughters of light, which from them came out Amon and Mayav, which is from Mayav came out David, which we see the same term Mutsasi. That's why Hashem wanted it to be exactly like that, that it should be this way, that they should come into the Jewish nation, and from there come out Malchus Beis David. Now it says there in the psukim over there, Hema, where it continues there in Divrei Yom, Hema HaYotrim, they are the potters, V'yeshvin, Netom, U'gedera, and those who are the settlers of the plantations, and those who fence it in, Im HaMelech B'malachter, together with the king, with his work, Yeshvin V'sham, they had settled over there. Which again is referring to this Shevet Yehuda. So who are these people referring to? Hema HaYotrim, they are the potters, Eile B'nei Yonadav Ben Rechav. Why are they called the Yaitzim? Because they were Neitzim, which means that they protected, they safeguarded the oath of their father, who made them swear that they're not going to drink wine and they're not going to build houses, like the Pasuk says in the Yirmiyah in Perek Lamed Hei. Yeshvin the time, those who were the settlers of the plants. Zeh Shlema, it refers to Shlema, Shedemel in the Tia b'malchusa, that he was compared to like a sapling, like a tree, in his kingdom, where he continued to grow, like the Pasuk says in Devarim Aleph, Al Kisa Hashem Lamelech, that he continued growing, and he became greater and greater. Ugedera, and it's fencing in, Zu Sanhedrin, this refers to the Sanhedrin, to the high court, Shagadru Pritz essentially saw that they fenced in the breaches of the Jewish people, which is called that they made a Siyagla Torah, they made a fence around the Torah to protect it. With the king in his work, they sat there. Zurus Hamaviyah, that's a reference to Rus, the Moabite. Sharasa b'malchus Shlema, that she ended up seeing the kingdom of Shlema, who is Ben Benai, who is the grandson, Shal Ben Benai, of her grandson. Because Shlema was the son of David, who was the son of Yishai, who was the son of Ovid, who was Rus's son. Shlema, like it says in the Pasuk of Melachim Aleph, Vayasim Kisi Le'im HaMelech, that Shlema went and placed a throne for the mother of the kingdom. He explains, it means Le'ima Shal Malchus, to the mother of the kingdom, which means that from her came out all the kings, which is a reference to Rus HaMoviyah. Tanan Rabbanan Linda Breiser, continuing with the themes that we mentioned before, or from the previous daf, regarding the increase in prices. The Pasuk in Vayikra says, V'chaltem and Tzvua Yashem. This is if the Jewish people will follow in the path of Hashem. They'll have all these blessings. It says that you'll eat from the old grain. What that means to say is, B'loy Salmintayn. That you won't have the salmintain, which doesn't allow the produce to age, rather the produce rots. If it says you can eat from the old grain, it means to say you won't have this problem. So my belay salmintain, what does it mean without salmintain? What is the salmintain? So Rabbi Nachman Ami says belay ritzinta, without this worm which causes the produce to rot. Rav Sheshes Ami says belay shadifa, it's without this, the warming of the grain, which doesn't allow it to age appropriately. It doesn't get wormy, but it doesn't allow it to age and to get that higher quality when things age. Says the Gemara, Tanika Vasid Rav Sheshes, and Tanika Vasid Rav Nachman. Tanika Vasid Rav Nachman, we found a brice like Rav Nachman, that the brice says as follows, V'chaltem Yashin, you'll eat the old grain. Says the brice, Yochel Yiyu Yisrael Mitzav Melechadosh, you would think that the Jewish people will be looking forward to the new grain, and then they Yashin Shekola, because of the old one that will be already worn out, already will be rotted already. In other words, what the pasuk is saying is, "Vachaltim and atvua yashin," you'll be eating from the old grain until when it's close to the next reaping, but it won't even make it to the next reaping. So although they'll be eating it, but it'll already have been ruined through this ritzinta, through this worm that will rot it and make it ruined, and therefore they'll be anticipating the new grain. Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches over there in Vayikra. No, they'll be eating from the old one ad bay tivu asai, until the new grain comes, meaning achatavay tivu may allow, until the new grain comes by itself, meaning that the grain would have already fully matured, and they won't even have to do the reaping early and to then get it when it's not so mature to make parched and roasted grain out of it. No, they're going to have, it's not going to get rotten. And that's like that interpretation that what the problem would be if it would get wormy. Yeah, it's not going to get wormy, it's not going to rot. It's actually going to still be around by the time the new one comes. Tanya Gavah said, Rav Sheshes, we have a brice that says like Rav Sheshes, that interprets it differently like he does, V'achaltem en atvua yashin, that you'll be eating from the old grain. Says the brisa, Yochel Yiyu Yisrael Mitzav Melechadosh, you would think that the Jewish people would anticipate the new grain, Ne'yashin Shira, because the old one that's already bad, which that's like his interpretation, it's like Shadifa, meaning it's not rotten, the seeds are still whole, it's just it's like heated up and it's warm, so it's bad, so therefore they'll be looking forward to the new one, it just won't be rotten. Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches, no, Adbay Tvuasa, until the new one comes, meaning Achatavi Tvua Mela, until it comes by itself, meaning people won't even be looking forward to the new one. They'll have the old one, which will not even be heated and warm. It won't be aged, but it won't be aged. It won't even get ruined at all. Those are like those two different interpretations. Turn upon the Brisa, continuing on this Pasuk that says, V'chaltem Yashin Noishin, you'll be eating the old stuff. Says the Brisa Malamit Shekolam Yushim Mechaver. This teaches us that whatever is older from its partner, from something else, Havayafim Mechaver, is better than the other one. I mean, like the pasuk makes it sound like that you'll be eating the old and you'll leave the new one to get old because it's better the old than the new. Now says the Brisa Ve'Einli Ela Dvarim Shadarkan Liyashin. I would only know that what the pasuk is promising as a blessing is only things that you normally age, that they get better with age, like wheat and with wine. Dvarim shein darkan liyashna, but regarding things that it's not normative to age them, like other produce, which they usually rot the longer they stay around. Minayin, how would you know that the pasuk is promising that even that would be part of the blessing? Tamalam yashan noishin, that's where it repeats a double terminology of old, the old, become welcome in all situations. That's why the pasuk repeats it to say the praise of Eretz Yisrael, that even those things which are not normally aged will be aged and they'll still be around and they'll still be delicious. Now the pasuk there says, v'yashim em nechadish teitziyu, that the old you'll have to take out because of the new. So it says the Braisa Malamed has come to teach Shahayu Eitzis Malay and Yashin, that their storehouses would be already full from the old grain, but the Granis Malay and Chadish, but the threshing house is already full with the new grain. The Jewish people would say, how are we going to take out this because of this? In other words, what the Pasuk sounds like is that that the old you'll have to take out from the new, meaning with no choice. Because you won't have place where to put the new grain, so even though the old one is better than the new one, but you'll have to take it out because the new ones, because regarding aging is what you use the storehouse for, it's more appropriate to age the new ones than the old ones, which are already aged. Now, Amar Papa, he concludes, he says, Kol mili atikam alya, like we said before, old age things are better. Labar, except for three things, mitamri, dates, b'shichr, and beer, b'harsna, and these small fish, those are the exceptions to the rule of being aged. Hanulah Hamecha Esasvina, we shall return to you the fifth parak in Sechna Babasa, parak Hamecha Esasvina.